Oh, yeah. We're good. We're dancing. We're happy. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me is Mark Carman. Hey, Carm, are you there?
I am right here, Patty.
How are you feeling today, our second day of Marine Corps Educators Workshop in San Diego?
Well,
yes.
There was one moment today, and I think you might have the same moment, where all hope was basically lost.
I don't think you ever lost. Well, okay, we had different. I will say this, Carm. You and I had different moments of losing hope, I think. Yours was more emotional and psychological during a very long presentation, and mine was physical. I'm gonna just go on a limb. We're being vague for our not on purpose. Our audience will learn.
Well, we had one major expedition where we were, for myself at least, where mine was actually different than yours. Mine was on the football field.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about for me. I was carrying a man. I was carrying 30-pound.
A lot of stuff. Cans. Ammunition cans.
Ammunition cans, right? And as I dropped off the 160-pound body that I was lifting, real human being, and then they said, pick those cans up and start and run back down there.
Yep.
I thought that it was going to be the loss of the lunch. I really did, but somehow, some way, I was able to battle through. But that was not a comfortable feeling.
How much of getting through that? Maybe we should go back, but since we're starting here, though, we are talking about CFT, which is a component of the training that is at boot camp for the Marines. And Carm and I did maneuvers under fire, which entails some sprinting, some belly crawling, some low crawling, and some serpentining. They don't call it that, but some zigzag running. And then, rescuing a fellow soldier, one by a drag and then by a fireman's carry over his shoulder. And then carrying the ammunition cans, two 30-pound ammunition cans down the field. And Carm, you rocked that so hard. How much of getting that done was your own desire to prove that you could succeed, and everyone screaming from the sidelines and sort of being in that scrutiny, the camera on you, all that stuff?
Well, I was one of the last to go, so it was fun that I did get some people watching and some cheers, which were necessary. But I had just lost to Jackie Paulus in the ammunition can lifting.
That's where true.
She had done, I think, 80 some odd lifts, and it was in the 60s, right with you, Patty, and so I was a little bit embarrassed by that. And I had to redeem myself.
I love Jackie, but I kind of wonder if she was doing the official because, our senior drill instructor, Staff Sergeant Lemke, was yelling at her to lock her arms. I don't know that we'll see in the video. We'll be able to check and see if she was doing the official Marine Corps ammunition lift. I'm just saying.
She's
a badass. I'm just saying. She's a badass. But
she is a badass. She's a badass that definitely cheated. So
there is that, but it
was still a loss, though, right? I mean, if you cheat and you win, you cheat.
You felt
and you win.
The loss. Hey, I was behind both of you, so I got it to 58, I believe. Thank you for saying 60s, but it was 58.
People should know that Patty had the most heart of anybody in there. She had a drill sergeant screaming at her, "Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up!" You were totally gassed, and you bent down, you picked it up, and fought to do two more lifts. That was the heart of a champion right there.
Hey guys, real quick,
are we on the air?
Yeah, no, we're on the air. Can we do this real quick though? Here, Bob, can you turn my? There we go. Hold on.
Wait, let's start the show.
Tonight, it's
hey,
day
Carm.
Two of Pretty Late at Marine Boot Camp as Mark Carman rides sidecar once again. We'll cover all the Super Tuesday results with Representative Kifowit and LA Times reporter Mark Baraback. Finally, we'll get a Chicago weather update with some good news for Patty's return this weekend. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
you should be able to play that. Yes. Yeah. No, there's cool. No reason to make sure that we,
stupid computer.
Also Representative Cabello.
Cabello, yeah, that's 45. Yeah.
Yes.
Late booking.
Last second. He didn't want to come on. He and I were going back and forth because he was all, "I've been up since 5:30," and I'm all like, "I was up since 5:30. Bring it." So he will be on the show as well.
Sweet.
But yeah, so we have. So let's take this back a second. We'll come back to CFT if we get the chance. But because that was a brutal thing, and you killed it, Carm. But we started the day, Craig, and everybody. We started the day very early. With chow, with everybody else, you know, getting a breakfast and all, getting our protein and carbs on. And then we started being sort of trained the way a recruit to prepare us on how to respond at boot camp by our drill sergeant, our drill instructor, pardon me, because I've been told the drill sergeants are in the Army. By the way, Carm, that is Staff Sergeant Lemke's answer to everything is, this isn't the Army. He does it every time.
Yep. Honestly, I completely forgot that we started the day, the first 15 minutes of a Marine, on what they call the yellow footprints. You get off the bus and they scream at you, get off the bus, yes. Get off the bus, get off the yep. bus. And then you just get blitzed standing there as you enter the, what would you call it, Patty, the barracks for the first time or whatever you would.
Well, the benches, the first room we went into were the benches where we empty our pockets is without the way they describe it for the recruits. And the yellow feet, by the way, I know it was crazy.
We had a long day. We had a really long day. My God.
I know.
That was like a week ago.
So much has happened since then, Craig. We've been, and I know Rob Martier and Esmeralda are busy and there's a lot going on, but we're reeling from our experience, Craig. The yellow footprints, which are also at Parris Island. So any Marine recruit, when they arrive to boot camp, as Carm said, they are yelled at to get off the bus, get off the bus. And they line up immediately on these yellow footprints that are fluorescent. And they're yellow so that when they arrive in the dark, because it's so early in the morning, it's like 5 a.m., they're able to see them. And they all stand in formation with their toes at a – yes?
Let me correct Patty on this. And then, by the way, everything you said today to this point in the show, I'm amazed that you remembered and I forgot all of it. But they actually arrive at 9 at night. And they
oh, that's right.
They come at 9 at night, and then they're up for 24 hours. They do not let them sleep the first night. Continue on, please.
It's no, but I talked to somebody. Night. No, but it turns out, like, even that 24 hours, it turns out kind of turns into 48 hours. So we watched a video, Craig, of the – and anybody can watch this, as a matter of fact. I saw that there are videos on YouTube that shows that first sort of cycle of arriving at the Marine Corps recruits – depot in San Diego, and we only got a sample of it. Look, you know, Carm and I are fatigued, and it's been a long day, but nothing compared to what the men at San Diego, and by the way, I say men because it's only male recruits that are trained at the boot camp in San Diego. All the women are trained at Parris Island in North Carolina, and all the and actually all the recruits that are east of the Mississippi. Although, Carm, I do have to say, I found out today that, you know, one of the reasons that we're here is that Illinois is also, and we met a lot of young men from Illinois and Indiana. And I don't know if you know this, but Indiana actually is east of the Mississippi. So I'm not sure what their I'm not sure what their dividing line is anymore.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's not identify all those loopholes here.
It says areas west of the Mississippi, except Louisiana, and including parts of Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Yeah, and other parts of places if we decide.
Hey, look, it's the Marines. They make it up as they go. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Let's take a quick break here and see if we can and string it all together and figure out what happened to us today. Carm, I think we're ready to explain what happened, right? A little bit?
We are. And I was going to relay the part about dinner where I learned everything about how there should be more women out in San Diego because that would make for a better world, right, Patty?
Well, I think that it would make for an accurate training because men and women are deployed in the same units. So
yes.
I think that they
yes.
should be trained at least on the same at the same boot camp, if not in the same platoons. But anyway, our live broadcast from Marine Boot Camp in San Diego is brought to you by the VA loan expert, David Hochberg. Visit WGNDavid.com. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Feeling it. I know that, Carm, what kind of music do you hear in your head when you're enduring some of the challenges that we went through today at the Marine Corps boot camp?
Lady Gaga.
Little Lady Gaga. Yeah. All right. Just checking.
No.
Just
probably an Eye of the Tiger, let's be honest.
Oh, see, if I'd done that, I might feel better right now, but I didn't do that.
You were people should know, Paddy Vasquez was absolutely phenomenal today. Battled like top 5% of everybody out here. Was lifting cans, was running, was digging in the dirt.
Go
ahead, all tell right. the story, because right. I was trying right. to leave so, you there.
I know. So we went through – okay, so hold on a second. Let me go back. So before I tell you the sadly sort of – it's not tragic. It's just another day in my life. But one of my high points, I believe, Carm, for me – I don't know if what yours was, but I really enjoyed the moment where we were sitting in those seats in the squad bay where the recruits are about to meet their permanent drill instructors, and the senior drill instructor – the senior drill instructor, Staff Sergeant Gray, came out. And, I mean, this guy was out of every Marine casting call that I've ever seen of a movie. And he's telling us what he is promising his recruits and what he expects from them. And then he is going to introduce them to the other drill instructors, and this door opens and these two guys march out. I can't describe it, but it was so cool. And I talked to Staff Sergeant Gray afterwards, and I asked him if there's anything different he does for the educators. And he said, no, I do it exactly the same. I want you to know what it's like. I want you to be able to share this story about what my commitment is and how much the recruits mean to me and what I will do for them. And he's been a Marine for, I believe, 14 years, and he still, mm-hmm. every single day, he remembers his very first day as a Marine. That was my favorite moment of the day, and seeing the racks, which are their beds, their bunks, and seeing where the recruits live. And actually also that Q&A we saw today, Carm, where the young men were they were talking about which, Craig, this is not something I ever thought I would see. I mean, of course it's happening, but they have basically a group discussion with the young men about sexual assault, drug and alcohol abuse, and spousal abuse. And these young men were very brave, I think. I mean, I don't know how long. I believe they'd been there. If I recall correctly, I met a young man named Jesse from St. Louis who said he'd been there for 9 weeks. But they were all willing to share stories about themselves, about people in their lives who they knew were affected by drug abuse and how negatively it had impacted their lives and how they were committing to be better. And it was I was really blown away by that experience.
That sounds like a really, sentimental kind of patriotic feeling that you're getting as all this is happening. And then in the meantime, Mark Carman sitting there thinking of Poker Face or something like that.
Well, he's... Yeah. Is that what you were thinking with your rifle? Was it your rifle and your gun?
Yeah, Mark, what's going on there?
Yeah.
All I know
Craig,
is
Carm was our our leader on the bayonet course today, and I don't think I failed, but I definitely stumbled on the job. Let's put it that way. Let me put it this way: Carm kicked ass. Jackie Paulus was a badass as well, just conquering these feats. And I wore a helmet. That's kind of what happened today.
Nice. Not everybody can wear a helmet. That's good.
Go ahead, Carm.
No, it's just interesting to think about everything that went on today. And you're talking about the first scene there when we're sitting in the Foot Lockers. Craig, you can imagine this. There's all of us civilians standing around, and there's a platoon that's all sitting with Indian style and on the ground. And the sergeant is sitting on a platoon, and he's talking about serious stuff like domestic violence and drugs and everything else. And there, any questions? And these guys would raise their hand, and they would stand up and say, "Good morning, Sergeant." And then they would ask, whatever question was on their mind. It was intimate, and it was intense all at the same time.
With about 80 educators surrounding them, on top of talking to their drill instructor. That's why I thought I was like. I mean, it wasn't for show. These kids are all, 18 to 21 years old, and this is for reals for them. And it was impressive. And then we were led out to a the bayonet course, which is basically a huge sort of desert-looking area, a lot of sand and obstacle courses. And we were instructed on – we watched a demonstration of four Marines running the course with their bayonets. They were crawling through tunnels, jumping into foxholes, using their bayonets to attack and kill tires hanging from chains, crossing a rope bridge. And I was kind of excited. I was curious as to how I would do. I was nervous about jumping in and out of the foxholes. It seemed like a lot of strain. And running in sand, I don't know if you're aware, is also very hard. So I was excited to sort of see what the challenge would be like for me. We were instructed to put on fatigues. We would put on pants and the tops, the blouses they're called, and a we also put on vests. We had they're not filled with they're not, what do you call it? What kind of vests were we wearing, Carm?
I think they were bulletproof vests, weren't
but
they?
But they're not filled. Yeah, but they weren't lined. But they were still heavy. I mean, the material was heavy, but they weren't – I don't think they were filled. I mean, they felt ridiculously heavy. And then the helmet and the rifle, all very heavy stuff. And then the four of us, Jackie, Paulus, Mark Carmen, Sergeant Hurd, who was kind enough to run the course with us. He was the only Marine who ran with us, with any of the educators. I asked him to, and he said, all day, every day. And he really is that guy. He is an incredible Marine, as they all are, but we really enjoy hanging out with them. Anyway, Carm, what was your title in this exercise?
Well, I think I was our – I don't know what my title was, but I was our vocal leader on that one where I did something out, which – what did I yell, Patty?
I don't know. Prepare to rush,
and then you guys would – yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Prepare to rush, and then Patty and everybody else would yell, prepare to rush, and then I would say, rush! And we leap up and go crazy.
Screaming. The idea is you're supposed to run screaming to intimidate your enemy. And so we're all laying face down on the dirt, and I – go to bolt up and realize that I may not be up to the challenge physically. Having had two children, apparently things change when you pop out of the sand and try running with a heavy rifle. Craig, you call the first day of CrossFit when they handed me a jump rope.
I do.
You felt awkward. I told you later that some people call it jump roping. I call it excessive Kegeling. There was a moment I made it through the course, but there was a moment where I was like, can I just lay in the sand for a little? I'm going to have to roll around like a cat in the litter. Yep, that happened at boot camp. And I don't know if I was happy or disappointed to hear that that's not the worst they've heard. So there you go. I did ask the drill instructors to please wash my fatigues as soon as they possibly could. There you go.
We finished the obstacle course, Patty turns to me and says, well, she starts telling a story that says, well, actually, there's probably some things that you just don't need to know. And I'm like, oh.
There weren't enough Kegels in the world for me to get through that bayonet course cleanly. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from the Allstate Showcase Studios and Pearl Mortgage Studios in San Diego, where Mark Carmen and I are participating in the Educators Workshop. Today, we were at the Marine Corps Recruits Depot, and we have on the line with us someone who is familiar with the yellow footprints. We have Representative Stephanie Kifowit, who represents the 84th District and went through Parris Island. How are you doing tonight, Representative?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Patty?
I am a little exhausted. I got some pains in places that I don't know if you heard our story before the news. But Carm, this is Representative Kifowit, who did everything we did today. Representative Kifowit, we did the yellow footprints. Obviously not. Now, when you arrived at Parris Island and stepped off and were yelled at to get off that bus, what was going through your mind in that moment?
Nothing goes through your mind. You just do what they tell you to do. Your mind shuts down and it's all instinct.
That's kind of what they want.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they want. We did the bayonet course today.
And, oh, that was fun.
Fun, yes. You use the word fun. I don't believe you'd had. I don't believe you had had babies when you did the. You had experienced pregnancy, and I apparently have not been working certain muscles enough to be able to perform that as well as I would have liked to. I don't know.
Oh, come on, Patty. You've been doing CrossFit. Should have been nothing for you.
Here's the thing. It turns out, one, they kept having us hydrate a lot. Two, it was lying in the dirt and then popping up and yelling. I think it was a combination of – and running in the sand. I think it was a combination of all that I realized I should probably do more Kegels. I have not been working out the appropriate muscles, Representative. Yeah, but how old were you when you went through? You didn't think that story was going to end that way, did you?
Oh, no, it's all good. I'm all about all good. Physical exercise. Oh. All exercise is good for me. It's all good. I was 18. I actually signed up for the Marine Corps when I was 17, and I had delayed entry, and I actually shipped out shortly after my 18th birthday.
Wow. And what drew you to the Marines? What made you decide to choose the Marines?
That was my teenage act of rebellion. I had just graduated. I didn't have much to do, and actually, it is kind of a funny story. I was at my friend's house in Midlothian, hanging out, and I'm like, I got nothing to do, you know. And I'm going to go to Harvey, Illinois, and sign up for the Marines. And all my friends are like, what? And so, yeah, I got out of the phone book, went to Harvey, Illinois, signed up for the Marines. And then I shipped out 8 months later. And then, you know, after I signed all the papers, then I called my parents and said, oh, guess what I did, Mom? I joined the Marines. And she was like, what?
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that was my crazy thing I did when I was a teenager.
Yeah, other kids, they get piercings and tattoos. Go ahead, Carm.
No, well, I'm just curious, looking back on it, did it change your life? I mean, that was an interesting spur-of-the-moment decision, but looking back, would you say this changed my life in ways that I would never have imagined?
Oh, well, absolutely, because I did it. Well, my parents, they donated all my college fund to the divorce attorneys. So,
wow.
So there was really no avenue for me to go to college or to better myself. I was at community college at the time, actually, COD right there, and taking a couple classes here and there. But absolutely, I didn't think it would impact. You know, I just thought, it's a couple years, it'll be fun. But I got out. I was able to get my MAP grant and a Pell grant, the Illinois Veterans grant, my GI Bill. I was able to get my college degree and my master's degree, and you know, and I was really blessed to be having programs that supported me in college so that I could be a better person than I was. The people I hung out with, they're still doing the same stuff. You know, some of them are still doing the same stuff they did when I was in high school, you know. So it's like, so, I mean, I could have been right there with them, you know, not knowing what I wanted to do in life, but instead I really, really am blessed. And you know, it's a phenomenal experience. I was able to go to Camp Pendleton, California, right there, Marine Corps base. Yep. And then I was stationed overseas in Okinawa, Japan. So it's fabulous, seeing other countries. And then I was able to go to Korea for 2 weeks.
How long were you, how many years were you in the Marines?
4 years active duty.
4 years active duty. I agree with you, and that seems to echo the sentiment that you expressed about, you know, open the world up to you and, you know, learn more about yourself. A lot of the men that we've met today, we've met recruits from St. Louis and Chicago, and they were, I believe it was 9 weeks. A couple of them were about to be fitted for their uniforms today and tomorrow, and that seemed to be something that they were very much looking forward to, an achievement that they've been working toward. But they were talking about how they were surprised. They surprised themselves by how they rose to the challenge physically. They were a little surprised at how hard it was for them mentally, was the thing that they were taken aback by. Does that sound familiar to you, the mental challenge of it?
I didn't have any trouble in boot camp, really. I mean, aside from, you know, not doing well on something, and then you have to get dug for like a half hour in the sand, please. You know, that's right. Because Paris Island, see that, we Marines from Paris Island, you know, we don't get sunglasses like the San Diego people, you know. We're like hardcore.
We didn't see
Paris Island, you know, so we had sand fleas and all sorts of stuff over there in the island.
Well,
but, mentally,
yeah,
you know, I just mentally it stresses you out. But I mean, I guess I was pretty independent when I got there, so you know, I wasn't
right. Crying
home to mommy or you know all that stuff. I was just like, all right, bring it on. I, you know, I was always in sports, so it didn't really bother me. You know,
that's cool. So well, and
it was fine for me.
Well, Carm heard me rail for about how long? Only about 10 minutes, Carm, that women should be trained, the female Marines should be trained in San Diego. They only have female recruits at Parris Island. But
yeah.
Representative Kifowitz texted me. You said it's more of a demand thing. Is it on the part of the Marines not recruiting women, or is it women not seeking out position, being, you know, enlistment in the Marines?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. When I was in, and granted, I was in from 90 to 94, so that shows how old I am now. But when I was in, the Marine Corps was at about 200,000 Marines, and about 12,000 of them were women.
Okay.
So, I mean, you have to look at, you know, realistically, is the demand there? If the demand is there, if there's more women joining the Marines and they can open up another recruiting station, why not? But
right.
if Parris Island fits the demand and the need just fine, I mean, why make something you don't need? You know, I mean, it's just that's just my basic philosophy in general. If it works fine, I think in general you gotta get trained, so it doesn't really matter where you get trained, you know, as
right.
long as it's proper training,
right?
So,
you get what you need.
Parris Island's better. You're on an island, man. It's like it toughens you up more. You're not in San Diego by all the movie stars and stuff like that. You know, I mean, you can't get off that island. There's only one way on and one way off that island.
But they say it's not a very beautiful island. You say island and people start thinking about palm trees and white sand beaches. That's not the case, right?
No. The sand, like I said, my first experience with sand, please, we got in trouble. I can't even remember what we got in trouble for, but we had to do push-ups in the sand for, I think, like a half an hour or so. And
yikes.
I remember that night, thinking I had chicken pox. I was like, what is up?
Oh,
that was all
God,
fancy bites.
Bites.
All up and down my arms and my shoulders, because we were digging in sand fleas. It was sand flea season.
Well, apparently it's a pink eye season at the San Diego Marine Corps depot. That's what we heard a little bit about today. But I'm guessing that the kids are all vulnerable. You know, they're all bunking in this, you know, these huge barracks and
pink.
It's
pink eye when you like rub, when the little kid like rubs snot in their eyes or something like that. Don't, isn't that little kids? Look at that. They got a little pink eye. What is
No, I'm stirring. I'm
all the way. There's no pink eye in Parris Island.
There you go, Carm. Next time we'll see if we can go to Parris Island. How's that sound?
I like this competitive attitude.
Flea bites versus pink eye. That's what we're talking about now. I think that's
what it's
come down to. There's no pink eye.
Like little kindergartners get pink eye because they got snot all over themselves and they're running out.
Oh, boy. See what I did there? I didn't even know I was stepping on that. We want to thank you, Representative Kifowitz. We have to run. We really appreciate your time. And, by the way, how can people contact you if they want to reach out and share their concerns?
They can call my cell phone, 630-306-2888, or they can just email me at stephanie.kifowitz@att.net.
Excellent. We'll talk to you again very soon. I'm sorry we can't go longer, but we've got a very strict schedule. You know what that's like.
Oh, man,
right?
I got tons of busting on other branches. other branches, you know, come on. We bust on ourselves. No, it's all good. It's all good. We're all part
Carm
of the
and I
family.
Spent 10 hours being yelled at. Eyes, click. All right, then.
that's nothing, honey. That's nothing.
No, I know. Oh, of course.
We're all here to defend our country, and we're here to protect it. And all my men and my brothers and sisters in the armed forces, you know, thank you all that are out there. And, you know, it's a great thing that you're experiencing that. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And we'll talk to you again very soon. Get some rest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, have a great
one. All right. Thank
you,
too. Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from San Diego, where Mark Carman and I are participating in an educator's workshop with the United States Marine Corps, and we've been to boot camp today. We've been up, Craig, for a long time.
Long, long time.
Carm, how are you feeling?
I feel great, Patty. I just did 15 jumping jacks and 10 push-ups
Well, I think that we're saying that we think that sleep is for the weak, and I think that our representative John Cabello on the line with us, who represents the 68th District, he agrees. He's in the no sleep party tonight. How you doing, Representative Cabello?
Not too bad. How about yourself? It sounds like it's been a great time.
Great, yes, great, impressive. I am impressed with what the young men here are challenging themselves to do and why they're doing it. But being more than twice their age, I don't know that if I had to do it over again, I might have tapped the brakes a little bit on the efforts I put out on some of the courses. But you've had a very long day today, too. Why were you, may I ask, why you were in D.C.? If I didn't even mention that when we were texting.
Yeah, I had a couple of meetings I had to attend to, so I actually left on Saturday for some meetings and donor meetings and conference, and was supposed to come back today so that I could drive right to Springfield, and well, there was this little tiny weather system that went through Chicago, and I was delayed several hours, and so I'll drive down to Springfield first thing in the morning.
So how long were you stranded at the D.C.? Which airport in D.C.?
I was at the Ronald Reagan, and I was there for four and a half hours, and then they put us on the plane, and then they put us out on the tarmac for another hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, man. Now, does Representative Cabello, does he take that time to do more work? He's on his laptop. I'm imagining you just getting to it.
I actually took the time to reflect on a lot of things. I don't like to use my devices when there's a bunch of other people around.
Interesting. Okay.
Because, I don't want them to hear what I have to say, and I don't want to bother the folks next to me. Folks don't like that.
Fair enough. And so you and I were texting a little bit a while ago. Carm, I don't even know. I think the three of us are probably amongst the few, perhaps, listening to the station tonight that actually have very little idea about what happened on Super Tuesday. Have you had a chance to catch up with all the information and the returns? Representative Cabello?
I'm sorry. I think you said else.
No, you. Yeah, Carm and I have no idea. All I know is there's a lot of Trump news. There's a lot of Clinton news. There's a smattering of Cruz. And I think Rubio won, Minneapolis. Just I don't know if you can just win the city.
Just
Minneapolis.
I think Cruz did better because he won Texas and Ohio.
Oklahoma.
Cruz won two. Oklahoma, yes.
Yes. See? We will help each other through this.
Which I don't think he was supposed to, or he was supposed to win a lot more of these southern states, and it kind of just fell apart.
Right.
At this point in time, I'm not sure that there's any stopping Trump.
How surprised are you by that? I mean, not now. I mean, the last few weeks. But in last July, if someone told you that Trump was going to be at the top of the ticket for this election,
I would say
how surprised.
No. I was a Jeb Bush guy.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought just with the experience that his brother and his father had gone through that they would know the path on how to get to where they needed to get. And unfortunately, that just never materialized. So I said that I was going to stay out of it from that point on. And just watching it is just amazing. I like Trump for a couple of reasons. One, I'm sorry. Good.
No, go ahead. I'm curious to find that out. What draws you to Trump?
I like to have things sugarcoated. You know, tell the truth. Tell it how it is. Get it out quickly so you don't stumble, and let the people know what's going on. Some of the other things that the way he's acting, I'm not so thrilled with. You know, I want a president that acts like a president, and lets the rest of the world understand that we mean business. So there's good things and some bad things.
So what I'm understanding is that there's a way to tell it like it is without being so crass.
Correct.
Okay. I think that's fair. Karm, what do you think? I mean, because we've been talking about this a little bit back and forth about the rise of Donald Trump and what this means for, I think, just the tone of the election.
I mean, I think a lot of people have that sentiment that he, quote unquote, tells it like it is. Unfortunately, I think what he actually is saying is not, at least to me, not exactly how it is at all, but he certainly has resonated with people that way, and I think that's one of the reasons why it looks like he's going to get the nomination for the Republican Party, which it's really interesting to me just seeing how the Republican Party is trying to lash back at Donald and, realize that this could be absolutely horrendous for the party as a whole and trying to stop him, despite the fact that he's just continues to pile up delegates.
Yeah, I think it's hard to gauge what the effects are going to be because this has never happened before. Before we let you go, Representative Cabello, when are the primaries in Illinois? Are you hoping that people show up? Because I'm guessing you are.
March 15th, and I have I don't think this is going to be settled by then. So
right.
Illinois actually may have a much larger stake in this whole situation than it's had in a very long time. So we're looking forward to seeing if any of them decide to stop in and say hello and hopefully get on your show.
Well, we like having you on our show, and we so appreciate your time. Now go to sleep. It's not for the weak. It's for the determined, I think, or whatever. The hardworking. We deserve it. Get there.
You guys be safe. Have fun. And tell all those military men and women we thank them for what they're doing.
We do. We do every single time. I appreciate that. We'll pass that along. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks. More after this on Pretty Late. Bye. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studios and Pearl Mortgage Studios in San Diego with Mark Harmon. And joining us on the line is Mark Z. Baraback from the Los Angeles Times, who is in the midst of writing many pieces on the coverage of Super Tuesday. How's it going, Mark?
It's fine. I have to say, it cracked me up when your forecaster said pretty chilly, and he said 13. And in California, I think we would consider that a sign of the apocalypse.
I agree. Carm and I are enjoying the lovely San Diego weather, so we're trying not to rub it in back there. But you go ahead
all
and
right.
do that.
Okay.
What strikes you the most about today's what jumps out at you about today's Super Tuesday results?
Well, nothing is certain, but I think it's far more likely than not after tonight that we're going to be looking at a Hillary Clinton-Donald Trump general election. I think both of them went quite a distance tonight in locking down their respective nominations. Clinton more so, I think, because she has the party establishment behind her, and I can get into a little bit of the math, not too much, but, the way Democrats give out their delegates, it's proportional. So, Bernie Sanders can win some states, just as Hillary Clinton did in 2008, but once she opens up a lead, she's got a pretty substantial lead among delegates right now. It's going to be really, really hard for Bernie Sanders to overtake her. On the Republican side, Donald Trump doesn't have as big a lead in the delegate count. We're also coming up against a lot of big winner-take-all states in Ohio and Florida. Opportunity for candidates to gain a lot of ground. But, boy, Donald Trump had a very, very strong night tonight.
Yeah, it's crazy. What is he up to, 221 delegates?
Yeah, he's up to 221 delegates. And that's a case where, Democrats, I would argue, it's more a matter of mathematics at this point. Again, going back to proportionality. But with the Republicans, you have a real perception thing going. I mean, if it was anyone other than Donald Trump, any other candidate who was done and performed the way he has performed, it would have been over by now. I mean, not even close. I mean, he did very well in Iowa. He won New Hampshire in overwhelming fashion. He won Nevada and on and on. If anyone was running other than Donald Trump, it would be done and over right now, and the Republican Party would be rallying around him. If there's one thing we've seen over and over and over in the history of politics, it's the law of unintended consequences. Republicans wanted to wrap this thing up quickly. They didn't want a long, dragged-out fight because they saw what happened the last time with Mitt Romney. So they stacked the calendar, if you will, to bring an abrupt halt to the race. Now it looks like they could have an abrupt halt, but they're saying, no, not so quickly, not so soon. Let's let this thing play out a bit.
Right, not this guy. Now, I know you need to get back to writing. Do you want to give us an idea? I'm guessing it's all Super Tuesday stuff, but what's the angle on what you're working on?
Yeah, Super Tuesday, where we go from here.
Okay.
And how – I mean, I'm focused on the Republican race. And the question is – and again, I want to be very clear to anyone out there on Radio Land who's listening. I don't have a horse in this. I'm not advocating one way or other. But the real question is, you know, you do have this phenomena where there is a large part of the Republican establishment that does not like Donald Trump, that will not vote for Donald Trump. The question, and it's a big one at this point, is how do they stop Donald Trump?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't want to keep you from your work, and I know that you've given us some of your time. So we look forward to seeing your piece. Again, this is Mark Z. Bareback from the LA Times, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Of course, you too. Thank you, thank you. Again, we didn't want to keep him too long because Craig was telling me that he really needed to get back to work. I mean, there's got to be so much to cover. I mean, this is so many states that are going on. Carm, are you ready to vote in the Illinois primaries coming up very soon on March 15th?
I probably had a big primary. I am registered, Patty.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I am registered. I did get my voter card in the mail.
Excellent.
I guess a couple of days ago, so that was very excited. Exciting. Are you, listen.
It is. I get excited when I see my voter card.
You know, Mark, I kind of can tell where this is going, and I think we should just ask you the question again because the right answer was you are voting on the 15th. I think that was the correct answer.
Yeah. Drawing this out.
Oh, there's no question, Craig.
Right. Exactly. You'll be the first guy there.
Yeah.
What are we voting for on the 15th again?
Oh, my God. It's the primaries. It's the primaries for everything.
Yeah.
Including, like, the Attorney General for Cook County. We've got a lot of seats in the House. Actually, all the seats in the House of Representatives in Illinois are up. There are some federal positions that are up. Then, obviously, the president, the primary positions.
Right.
It's all,
no, I understand. Here, my point is this. As far as all the every single representative, I probably need to spend a couple more minutes on that, Patty, to be completely informed. So I do have some work to do there. But listen, looking at tonight's results, you have, I mean, Hillary is just absolutely crushing in the South. It's 78% in Alabama. 66% in Tennessee, and you know this is I don't think there's any doubt that Hillary's going to get the nomination, right?
Right. I agree.
So
do you think that she should run with Bernie Sanders?
65% in Texas. What's that?
It's pretty big. Do you think that she should run with Bernie as her running mate, or is that?
I'd be pro that. I'd like to see it. I don't know if that what their rapport is and whether or not she feels like that ticket can win. Right now you would think that if Trump's going to be the nomination, you would think that she's feeling very confident about her position, right? So
how often do candidates take one of their opponents from the primaries to be their running mate? It just occurred to me. Although I think that didn't Joe Biden run? I don't know. It's a curious thing. But also, age might be a factor. Maybe they think that if they have, although Bernie's done so well with young voters, but I mean, age is a factor in being the vice president. Both of them, a little bit older. Maybe you want to go with someone who's younger. I don't know. I don't know what the angle would be for her on that. And then I don't even want to start to think about who Trump is going to. Oh my God. What kind of circus act do you think he's going to get?
I know who it's going to be. It's going to be Kanye West. I think we've all talked about that
before. Oh.
So. Yeah.
Wow. I think that's the only way to go, isn't it?
I thought the way Chris Christie stepped up there, he was bucking for the VP spot. Of course, six newspapers in New Jersey now want to get Chris Christie fired for coming up and endorsing Trump. So that's a very interesting little development.
Yeah, that's another question that popped in my head about the endorsement. I don't know, again, in the primary season, and our friend, our reporter from the LA Times was kind of touching on that, you know, the backlash that Chris Christie's gotten from endorsing him. He's the only one. He's the only prominent Republican who has endorsed Donald Trump in past primaries. How long has it taken for other prominent candidates or other prominent politicians in either party to throw their support? Although, I mean, I don't know. It's such a it's such a new game right now.
You know, all the newspapers are asking for New Jersey to recall Christie because he's still on the campaign trail, but he's no longer running for the presidency. He really should go back to Jersey and do some work there. I think that's one of the reasons, too, that they feel like, you know, the guy, he doesn't really seem to care about his stuff at home anymore.
Oh, well, there you go. Right. Or maybe he says, I am on a campaign trail. You didn't say it had to be my campaign trial. You weren't
Could
specific
be anybody's.
Enough. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
And also, this bridge is out. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West and our Pearl Mortgage Studios because our trip out here, Mark Carmen and I, are participating in the Educators Workshop with the United States Marine Corps in San Diego. It's very exciting to be in San Diego. We don't want to rub it in, by the way. But David Hochberg has been very kind to sponsor this and to share his enthusiasm for supporting our veterans. You can go to WGNDavid.com for more information on his VA loans and mortgage expertise. And Carm, Craig and I, and Esmeralda, please don't feel like you can't join us if you want to jump in at all. Esmeralda, hanging out there? Nope. All right. Just thought I'd check. Is anybody there?
I'm here.
Sure.
I'm here. Oh, there she is.
What? Yeah. She's like, you Patty, haven't talked to me yet. Why should I say anything? All right. Hi, Esmeralda.
Patty, you know where Ted Cruz celebrated tonight?
Where did he celebrate? Taco Bell.
No, not at Taco Bell, which is an outstanding establishment. He celebrated at the Redneck Country Club. You can't make this up. Yes, he was indeed at the Redneck.
It's called the Redneck Country Club?
Yes. Owned by a guy by the name of Michael Berry, who hosts a racist radio program.
What in the
just
world
you wanted
is he
to
doing?
Just throw that one in the old mix of everything else going on here.
Well, I guess as long as you've won three states and no opportunity to really be on the – anyway, why not just throw caution to the wind and – well, hey, look, Donald Trump took a while to distance himself from David Duke, claiming he didn't know anything about his affiliation and prominent role in the KKK. But that's – you know, that's neither here nor there, Greg and Carm, because that's just – you know, that's just politics. Why not? Just say one thing one
not?
Day. Yeah, say
Go
a worse thing another
mind.
Day.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
It's not important.
No. I was listening to Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech. Esmeralda, you know, I know we don't talk as often with each other about politics, but were you listening to a lot of the speech that Hillary Clinton gave and Donald Trump?
You know, I haven't really gotten a chance.
Yeah,
I've been watching the results.
Yeah, mostly the numbers and stuff
yeah.
like that. Yeah, it's interesting, and yet I feel like people are kind of like, well, whatever. It's so hard to watch right now. But, you know, her message in her speech seemed to be, you know, more love and kindness and acceptance rather than going backwards to, you know, America doesn't have to be great, that together America is great if we all work together. And Donald Trump's was, you know, calling Marco Rubio names like little senator and wimp and things like that. It's just a strange night, but we were wondering about who he should or who he might choose to be his running mate. And Craig off the air was telling me that did you say it was a possibility that she could choose Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah, that's one of the rumors that was going around. Elizabeth Warren was out there. There were a couple more. I think Julian Castro was another one that's come up a lot. So there's been a few ideas so far, but not Bernie Sanders. 26% of Democrats apparently would like to see that happen, but I don't know if she'll go that way.
Only 26% probably isn't enough for her to go, oh, yeah, Bernie.
Well, I mean, this early on, that's actually, I would assume, I don't know if any
right.
other
Good point.
Like VP idea has a higher percentage than that.
Well, especially if there are people who want him to keep fighting to be president,
yeah.
so that would make
Let's
sense.
Go Bernie.
Esmeralda, what would you think about two women? And I'm only asking this because you're the other woman on the show right now. What would you think about two women on a presidential ticket? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I don't know if that could.
Right?
That could happen. Just
yeah,
because people are already so just the things I hear about Hillary Clinton, just
right.
that, you know, she's a B word and she's so this and she's that. And it's like, geez, okay, calm down. She's a lady in power. Like, what do you expect? And then to have two ladies in power, I feel like people are going to be very intimidated.
I think their heads would explode. And it's not at all a comparison, but when I do stand-up comedy, they rarely ever put two women on the same show because the idea is like, oh, we just saw a woman, there's another one. And but nobody ever flinches when there are three dudes or two dudes on a show. We've had two dudes on the ticket since the beginning of the country. But this is like, oh, I don't know. Slow your roll here with two broads on the ticket.
I feel the same way.
What was that, Carm?
It's just unbelievable that's just comical how insane that is. Are you funny or are you not funny? You would think we've gotten to that point yet, but we're probably not there.
No. So, I mean, imagine that at the presidential level. But I have told comedy clubs this before because once I started headlining and they would tell me, I mean, you know, there are clubs that would move the middle act and make them the opening act so there was at least a guy between us. And finally I asked the club owner, I go, look, people are all in already. If they know they're coming to see me, they have already decided they want to see a female comedian. If you are voting for Hillary Clinton, you've already accepted the notion that a woman can be the president of the United States. So what difference? It shouldn't make a difference if her VP is also a woman. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, don't we already know that her VP is Bill? Haven't we? I mean, isn't that kind of the deal?
Oh, that's a good. You know what? Did we consider her to be his VP? Because I think a lot of people did. No, I did.
I haven't seen anyone saying that out in the ethernet or wherever.
That she should pick him as her VP.
Yeah,
or that he's the silent VP.
Real VP. Okay. Not his real VP.
Wouldn't that be kind of cool though if he was the real VP?
What are the
rules on that? I have no idea.
Yeah, because it's a 2-term limit for president of the United States. Yeah. So I would assume that includes being on the ticket. Right. So even though he's not elected,
right,
because there's a possibility that he could become the president of the United States, I don't think they can let him. I don't think he can run. But I'm not a lawyer.
All right. I'll look into that. Maybe we'll get the Rich Lenkov on the show.
I'm not the constitutionalist when it comes to these kinds of things.
You know what? I'm going to text Rich Lenkov and see if he knows the answer to this.
There you go. Or
He's going to hang out. He's going to get his room back at the White House.
Right.
You know.
Oh, how weird.
I think Hillary wouldn't want him to kind of overshadow because I feel like that could happen.
Right. Well, I think people have talked about that before where, you know, to what extent does she want to, you know, put him in the spotlight? She's traveling with Chelsea Clinton. And, you know, I mean, she is a formidable candidate. And I don't know how this, obviously no one knows how this turns out, but I've asked several conservatives, you know, you really dislike Hillary Clinton, but you really don't, you know, they don't want Donald Trump to be the president of the United States. And a lot of them are talking about voting third party. But who is that? Who, you know, if it was nobody in the primaries that, you know, sort of stoked the fires or inspired anybody, who is it going to be now? Who's out there? Who haven't we talked about that Republicans would respond to? I don't know. Maybe that's a question for the next half hour. 312-981-7200, or we'll find something to talk about. There's so many things going on. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez and Mark Carmen from San Diego. Okay, wait. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm joined by Mark Carmen. We are broadcasting from San Diego as we participate in the U.S. Marine Corps Educator Workshop. But I'm caught off guard. We are having Rich Lenkov on the show. Maybe I've heard the song before. I'm not sure because there's so many elements to it, Rick, that I'm not sure what to lock into right now. Rich?
Probably the best reggae theme for any legal podcast I would venture out there.
That might be what it is. I think that's it's a little bit rap. It's a little bit reggae. Carm, any thoughts on the theme music? Do you wish we need theme music for this trip? Maybe some reggae rap for our trip.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it connected not only with Rich, obviously, who's already all in, but I think with everyone on the show and everyone listening, Patty. Quite frankly, I thought it was amazing.
I do. It encapsulates everything you need to, right? It's two friends. They're going to face off, legal face off with Jason Whiteside. I don't really know who that is, but the brighter half of that is Rich Lenkoff, who joins us. And you wanted to we had a question about the legality of Hillary Clinton choosing Bill Clinton to be on the ticket for the for the election. Is that do you know by any chance if that's legally possible?
It's not, but I want to correct you on the opening song for Legal Face Off. The Friends part is obviously the weakest part of the.
I think that was the part that jumped out at me. Yeah,
it's the only thing that really rhymed or came close to rhyming with WGN. So that's why we put the word Friends in there. But
I see. That
I
makes
digress.
Sense.
So,
yes.
Bill Clinton, whether he could serve as her VP, the answer is no.
Right.
22nd Amendment, we all know, says that a president can only serve two terms. So he's not running for president, but in order to serve as vice president under the 12th Amendment, he would have to meet the requirements of the president. So in order to be VP, you have to be able to serve as president.
Ah.
And because of the 22nd Amendment term limit, he couldn't serve as president, therefore he can't serve as vice president.
Interesting. So the 12th Amendment makes the 22nd Amendment for him impossible.
Yeah, and interesting. I didn't know this part, but the Constitution doesn't mention the office of vice president. The 12th Amendment was only ratified in 1804.
And so, I think at the time, the vice presidency was just the runner-up. I don't think that you ran with a running mate, but I could be wrong. That's a different thing. It's a different segment altogether. But you also had some thoughts on the Erin Andrews case, and tell us a little bit about what's going on there, and what if for people who haven't been following this for the last 7 or 8 years, what is happening now?
Well, so the story of Erin Andrews, I mean, in a nutshell, well-known sideline reporter, also host of Dancing with the Stars. She was videotaped without her consent, obviously, while she was in a Nashville Marriott a few years ago. As she was, changing, getting ready, she was naked, and this guy altered the peephole so that he could videotape from the hallway into her room and put that on the internet. He served 2.5 years in jail for it, and now she has sued the hotel for negligence for allowing this guy to rent the room next door to her. She's asking a Nashville jury to award her $75 million worth of damages. And her testimony was wrapped up today, and now the defense will start their case.
I'm seeing on the website of the Tennessean newspaper that the defense may say that her career has been helped by all of this. Is that a smart way to go for them?
You know, it is. It's the way it has to go for the defense. I mean, I actually represent a few different hotel chains and have defended cases like this, not exactly like this, but cases where a plaintiff is alleging that, my client, a hotel, did something wrong or violated their standard of care. And listen, at the end of the day, these cases come down to damages, right? I mean, plaintiff has to prove, in this case, Erin Andrews has to prove that she suffered some damage. And it's my job as a defense lawyer, it's the Marriott Hotel's defense lawyer in this case, to prove that the damages weren't significant. And listen, as hard as it is to go after Erin Andrews, what happened to her is terrible. But at the end of the day, what they're going to argue to the jury is that not only did her career not suffer as a result of this, but if you compare her pre-2009 career versus post-2009, 2009 being when this occurred, she's done incredibly well. I mean, since 2009, since this happened, she has signed a big contract with Fox. She has become not only a contestant, but a co-host of Dancing with the Stars, a major network TV show. She's had endorsement deals with Reebok and Degree Antiperspirant and an orange juice company. She was host of the Country Music Awards. So if you're looking at it purely from an economic standpoint, her attorneys are going to have a really hard time alleging lost wages. That's the key term you know, there's medical damages and there's economic damages. And she'll want to argue, she's going to argue to the jury that she's had some economic loss. Well, just on a pure, you know, math basis, that's going to be a hard argument to win.
She was very emotional on the stand.
Go ahead, Carm. Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, I mean, she was very emotional on the stand talking about how ESPN forced her to come out and talk about it and before they would put her back on the air and everything that happened. And so she's not, I think, you know, she's talking about mental anguish and all of that, Rich, right? So I'm just curious, you know, you've been around these cases so much. How does a jury go and figure out, well, okay, her earnings were not impacted, but mentally she was put through the ringer? At least that's what she's claiming, and it's hard to argue with that seeing her emotion on the stand. I mean, how do you even judge what the value of that is?
Yeah, for sure. So great question. You know, a jury, when they go back in the room, they're going to have a form to fill out. And the form is going to have slots for different types of damages. It'll have a slot for past pain and suffering, for example. It'll have a slot for future pain and suffering. It'll have a slot for loss of normal life, what's called loss of normal life. It'll have a slot for economic damages. So to answer your question, the jury is going to have to go back and decide what the mental anguish portion of it, because that's, you know, she's not claiming any physical injury. It's easier, I should say, when you're dealing with, you know, a personal injury case. You've got, let's say, a busted shoulder, and you've got $100,000 in medical bills. That's easier to quantify. With mental anguish, she might, you know, she's going to present medical bills. She's going to present her therapist bills. But, you know, it's not like she has surgery. It's not like she has MRIs to submit. So the jury is not going to have a lot to go on. You know, I estimate that she probably has, over the course of, you know, 6 or 7 years, she might have, let's say, $30,000 in medical bills, tops. So does that equate to $75 million worth of damages? That's going to be hard. Psychological trauma, mental anguish, those kind of claims, they're very difficult to prove. You know, a lot of times, I'm not saying Erin Andrews fits this category, but frequently people who are claiming mental anguish, they come to the injury with some prior history. It's very difficult to prove that a one-time incident results in long-term psychological trauma. Now, if anything would, you know, this might qualify. Listen, there's no question that what she went through was incredibly difficult, and the fact that it's on the internet will make it, you know, sort of linger forever. So it has some teeth. It has some value. Does it have $75 million worth of value? I think not. I think it probably would set a record. I haven't done the research, but I bet that would set a record in the state of Tennessee by, you know, probably $40 million for this kind of injury. So I think she'll have a tough time getting that number, but, you know, the jury probably will sympathize with her to some degree and give her something.
I've heard someone talk about how, you know, really the bigger thing for Erin Andrews in this case was to sue Marriott to have the hotel be in court to, you know, to show that they were negligent. Is that a component of this? And what do you think about using the legal system to kind of carry out a grudge if that's the case?
Well, I mean, listen, in order for Erin Andrews to recover, she's going to have to prove that the hotel, the individual hotel, was in fact negligent. Remember, the Marriott Corporation was dismissed early on in the case. So the only defendant left in this case is the property management company and the individual hotel. So in order to get to damages, Erin Andrews has to get the jury to agree, that she has to convince them that the hotel was negligent. And that's not an easy task. You know, remember, when you check into a hotel, when you go to a retail store, when you eat at a restaurant, you know, those property owners are not guarantors of your safety. It's not like, right, everything that happens at a hotel, the hotel's responsible for. The hotel, in this case, is arguing that this individual created a criminal act, and they can't foresee every criminal act. It's not like there was a history of this happening at the hotel. It's not like, right, you know, they were on notice that people would do that all the time. There is an argument to be made that they shouldn't have rented this individual the room next door, but of course they're saying that he conned his way into that. So the negligence standard is not as easy to prove. She has to prove that the Marriott Hotel in this case violated their duty of care. I don't think that's a given.
Wow. Yes, Craig? Carm, who was going to?
Well, I mean,
yeah.
I don't mean to make light of the situation here, but I mean, we're out here in a beautiful Holiday Inn hotel. You know, my window's open. I'm now, you know, there's been points where I have not been wearing any clothes during this show.
Oh.
You know? I mean, the way I see it, Richard, she's going to have a real hard time here. I don't get how the hotel's negligent. It's my fault if I don't close the blinds here, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't the blinds. It was, hadn't he inserted a camera or done something?
He created
because it was a shared door.
He created a peephole, and then he inserted a camera in it and taped it. That's not the same as forgetting to close your blinds.
Okay, fine. But, like, look. It's
different for sure, but the question is who's responsible for that? Is every criminal who comes into a hotel who does something on property, is the hotel responsible for it? The question is, was the hotel aware of his behavior? Should they have been aware? Should they have rented him the room next door? That's really the key question. If he called up out of the blue and said, hey, you know, I'm a fan of Erin Andrews. I want to be next door to her. And they said, sure, no problem. We'll rent you the room. That is a bit of a problem. But again, that's a bit of a leap from renting someone the room next door to someone whose name you give, to assuming they're going to, you know, do this wacky reverse peephole thing. I mean, that's a bit of a stretch also.
How much can you actually try to prove that the peephole video may have benefited her career? Erin Andrews wasn't exactly an unknown commodity then. She was someone that I think a lot of people would say was on the rise as a person in general. And getting the hosting gig at Dancing with the Stars, those kind of things, they could have elevated her career anyway. Is there any argument back to that conversation of the peephole video might have benefited her to say, who knows if she would have been as successful or more without it?
Yeah, 100%. Listen, that's the elephant in the room, right? I mean, that's the way you approach that with a jury is going to decide how they react. You don't want to come out and say, ladies and gentlemen, this peephole episode helped her, right? It gave her the type of advertising, the type of Q rating that you would otherwise pay, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for. But the truth is, I believe that's the case. Listen, she didn't want this notoriety. She would have been happy without it. But the way I would approach it to a jury is simply, you know, take a piece of paper and, you know, do a line down the middle and say before people and after people. Before people, she was, you know, a fairly well-known reporter, but that was it. After people, she had, you know, half a dozen national commercials. She was hosting, she's hosting a major network, you know, game show or dance show. She has hosted, you know, different award shows. Her career has soared. So you don't want to come out and sort of say that in black and white, but that's the message that I think the jury will take back to the room.
Wow, there's a lot of different angles to this. We thank you so much for your time, Rich Lenkov. And we'll talk to you again very soon. We have to run because we have to take a break here. But I want to tell everyone to listen to WGN Plus and Legal Face Off with Rich Lenkov and the other guy. I think that should be the new title. I'm looking forward to the new theme song for that.
I like it.
All right, then. And Jason Whiteside. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Craig, I've been meaning to ask you while Carm and I are out here in San Diego and, you know, kind of hanging with all the educators at the United States Marine Corps Boot Camp. And we have another adventure lined up for us tomorrow, but we haven't had a chance to get into any of our texts. And you mentioned that perhaps we should address one in particular.
Yeah. This text comes from Dylan. It's my 21st birthday. I plan to go out to the bars in a little bit. It's already 12:30, by the way, Dylan, but that's bold.
Almost one.
Yeah. But right now I'm drinking my first legally bought beer and I'm listening to my favorite radio show Pretty Late. Couldn't ask for a better start to my birthday. Love you guys, Dylan.
Dylan, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
I feel like we should sing. I don't know if it would be awkward for us to sing to you, but I am so thrilled that you are listening and celebrating with us and that's what you've chosen to do with your first beer. So happy birthday and thank you so much for listening and enjoying the show so much. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dylan. Happy birthday to you.
Patty,
I'm curious about where he's going to go.
I think you just started a horrible precedent. Now anyone that texts in happy birthday for me, you're going to have to sing to them.
I have to sing to them?
Yeah, every single
but
person.
But his was special. 21. Yeah, was special.
That is special. 21. And you can still go out,
don't
right?
come texting when you're 28. No one cares.
No.
Yeah.
That's 25 over
25 maybe. Maybe 25 because you're
you can get a cheaper rental car.
Exactly.
Are the 4 a.m. bars open tonight? I thought that was just a weekend thing.
Nope.
Listen, Esmeralda and I. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all there.
I have a list.
Go to the big city tap. Get out there.
Oh, yeah. No. Don't.
Oh.
Don't go there. No.
Carm,
no.
Carm, you got any 4 a.m. bars you can recommend to Dylan?
Till 4 tonight, Dylan. Hit it up. Ties till 4, a little Ashland and Addison.
Oh, come on. Carm, really?
Don't knock Ties till 4. Oh. Nick DiGilio even bartended there.
Yeah, and he knows it wasn't a good place.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it stood that the test accurate. Of time, Ties till 4.
Yeah.
We don't even know if Dylan's in the city or if he's out in the suburbs. And
he's
we
from
hope
the 815. So.
Oh, so it's where's 815? That's out farther. It's outside of our. It's outside the 773.
DeKalb.
Beyond the 708. Oh, it's DeKalb ish.
You can live in the city though. I still have my 815.
That's an expensive Uber ride. Oh, you mean he might have his phone?
Right.
Now we're just speculating about Dylan. This is it's the Dylan segment. I kind of love this.
Dylan, tell us everything about you.
Yes. Where are
Dylan,
you?
Dylan, we love
from?
You.
Yes, we do love you, Dylan, and 21. I'm excited for him. This is his first legal, which implies that perhaps before that they were not legal, or he wasn't drinking. Do you think he was not drinking before 21, or that he was just
the gist I get from this text is that he may have had beer before today.
All right. Then.
Yeah, for sure.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. It happens.
We can take a break, and hopefully, we'll hear from Dylan during the commercials.
All right. All right. Well, come on, Dylan. Let us know what your plans are tonight after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting with Mark Carmen, who, it's weird, we're in the same hotel, but that sounds weird. I mean, we're in the same hotel, but on different floors, different rooms. I guess different floors implies different rooms, but you know what I meant, right, Carm? You know what I'm talking about since...
You're one floor above me, Patty, but I can, you know, I feel your presence every moment that I, I don't know what I'm saying. It's getting
I know,
late.
I will say this. It's getting late, we're fatigued. Yes? What were you saying?
Wasn't it about this time last night that a pizza showed up at your door?
God, that was great. Only you and I hung out, and we had the pleasure of talking to one of the sergeants that we're working with here at the Marine Corps Boot Camp and Educators Workshop, which, by the way, is sponsored. We are guests of the United States Marine Corps, as well as being sponsored for our live broadcast by David Hochberg. And you can find out more about VA loans and his mortgage loan expertise at WGNDavid.com. We had almost too much food. I'm going to say we had too much food there at the end tonight at the lovely bar and grill at our hotel. It was a lot of food.
We did. I'm actually nauseatingly full, but it still was fun to run upstairs at this time last night and get a pizza.
Are you having moments where you're like, oh, I'm not feeling great? And then I think a little bit about the young men we met today. And I'm like, you know what? Like every day is probably like we're worried about gluttony. They're, you know, being hollered at and being broken down and built into Marines. And it's a contrast of experiences, that's for sure. I mean, that's what everything feels like whenever we get off the bus and people are like, you know, I need some more water. I need to go to the bathroom. Whatever. It just seems to pale in comparison to what the young men are going through.
Well, we slightly ruined a couple of Marines' day today because we sat there and talked to them at lunch and then their sergeants came over and said, yeah, time to go for you. So they didn't actually eat, or at least not eat as much as they could have because they were talking to you and me.
I didn't. Well, those two guys had been there for quite a while. It wasn't as bad. I actually, they were my second round. So let's explain this a little bit. At the Marine Corps Recruit Depot here in San Diego, they are hosting an educator's workshop, and we are here to observe, to learn what it takes to be a Marine, what the opportunities are, what the entire experience is like, as much as we can, including kind of being embedded and not embedded, but at least going through a lot of the different training skills and training courses that I don't know. I'm still reeling over what we did, but they also gave us an opportunity at lunch to sit down with some of the young, very young recruits. And it was the first time, Carm, did you know this? It was the first time any of them had ever eaten in that mess hall. because they actually have their own. And so they were kind of curious. It was exciting. They were kind of excited to at least do something different for the day. They had requested recruits from Illinois, particularly from the Chicagoland area and from the St. Louis area, since that's where all the educators are from. So the two recruits that you saw, Carm, they had been there for a while. But before that, I'd sat down with a young man named Jesse. Really, just such a great kid. And I started talking to him, and his tray was full of food, and his sergeant came over because he was so sweet and funny and excited to be at boot camp. And he was yelled at to get up, and he didn't get to eat hardly anything because I was chatting away with him. So the two guys we had actually got through much more of their meal than Jesse. But Carm, I asked you this because of my conversation with Jesse. Can you climb the rope? Like a gym class or any other place that you've encountered the rope climb?
No chance. I did watch today, as did you.
Yes.
And I think from viewing today, I think my technique might be a little bit better than it was before today. But I have some severe doubts of whether I could actually follow what I think I saw. And then there's a...
Yeah,
there's the other part of just the pure strength of it. Oh, I mean, that is. I think I can. I think I'm strong enough to do it. But it, these guys are climbing ropes, 25, 30 feet in the air, Patty. Right?
Oh man. Well, now first, Craig, can you climb the rope? Were you
like
able to do that
currently, or at any point in my life, could I? Climb
any point
the rope?
In your life,
I could in high school and stuff. I could climb the rope.
And did you have that technique where you, like, put it between your feet? And...
Correct. Yeah, you push off with your feet. You're not supposed to use your hands the whole time, or your arms. That's too difficult.
It's all difficult.
We watched a guy today, Craig.
Yeah.
He had four ropes, all lined up. He grabbed one rope with his left arm, the other with his right, and then just pulled himself up
that is
one
amazing.
By one.
Yeah.
He pretty much scurried up those ropes.
He did it the way the Green Arrow would do it, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Sorry, Carm. I don't know if that's a reference to you. Yes.
That's fine.
It was.
By the way, I have a Dylan update real quick if you guys want
one. Yes, please.
Dylan is in Rockford, and he plans on going out in a little bit, but he didn't want to miss any of his favorite show. But there's a pub down the street from his apartment that might be open till 4.
Okay. Well, make sure, because it might be at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. You could always drive in and go to the big city tap, Dylan. It's a really good idea.
That's a haul from Rockford. That yeah. Is a
go to Beefaroo, Dylan. They're not open, but just tell them it's your birthday.
Just hang out.
Yeah, no, that works with a shut-down establishment with no crew. Oh, man. I am...
Okay, fine. Not a good suggestion, but Beefaroo is phenomenal food, Patty.
All right, Craig, now you have to Google 4 a.m. bars in Rockford.
Well, now, actually, we are also getting texts for other Chicago ones. People are saying to go to the exit. Just go to Wicker Park. There's a bunch there. We're getting 4 a.m. suggestions, so...
Oh, great.
Let's
hear the 4 a.m. requests. I mean, the exit was the one?
The exit. Actually, somebody just said go to Wicker Park. There's a bunch there. Flatiron, especially. So...
That's funny.
Especially, yeah. Now, there's a bunch.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. We're on late. It would stand to reason.
Right, that these people, that our fans would know what bars to go to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're on their way there. They're on their way home. They've come home from them.
Right.
Or
they're texting
exhausted.
From them.
All those things are happening.
I hope someone's listening to AM radio in the bar. That'd be great.
Yeah. I think that's got to be the new trend is pretty late. On at all the bars.
Yeah.
That's our next goal. Hey, cool. Next time you go into a bar, everybody, say, I know this, turn the volume down on this Blackhawks game and turn on WGN radio.
I know it's 1 o'clock in the morning and everybody just wants to dance, but can we turn that down and listen to some talk radio?
Although I just realized that if you turn on the Blackhawks game and turn on WGN radio, you hear the Blackhawks. That's happening.
Boom.
Boom.
Oorah.
So, later. Yes, exactly.
Sorry.
I don't think I muster a oorah.
Oorah.
Oorah. Oh man, what a day, Craig! What a day! Did we go over everything, Carm? I know that there's just so much that we've had to process, and wow! And tomorrow is a lighter day, Craig. We are
that's
going
good.
To, yeah.
By the way, Stacy is on the phone. She wants to tell us about some 4 a.m. bars.
Absolutely, Stacy. Tell us.
Hey, how are you, Stacy from Andres Park? I called you last week about the Marvel comic thing. How are you?
Oh yeah, I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I don't want you to forget the Oasis Tavern, Sheridan and Pratt, if you're up north in Rogers Park.
Open right there.
4 a.m., 5 on Saturday. And
what?
No, I'm not a spokesperson.
No, but you're a fan.
Well, I'm a fan. I'm up this early, and I love your show. Have
thank
a good
you.
Night, everybody.
Well, do me a favor. When you go to now tell us the bar again one more time at Sheridan and Pratt.
The Oasis Tavern, and they're all lovely, right. Lovely people. Great place to watch sports.
And tell them it would be a great place to listen to Pretty Late and have a beer. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to bring my radio over there in about 25 minutes. How's that?
Oh, there we go. I like it. Perfect.
All that, right.
And
have
just in time
night,
for
everybody.
What we meant to get to. There you go. Thank you so much, Stacey. Have a great night.
You know,
enjoy the Oasis.
If they throw Stacey out for having a radio, she should just stand outside the bar and hold the radio up and play the audio of our show for a while.
A little say anything action.
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
All right.
We'd give her
like
a gift card for that, right?
Yes, we would.
Okay, cool.
We need a picture of that. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to prove it.
Someone take a picture. Since I've already made Carm uncomfortable with my explanation of what occurred on the bayonet course today, I think when we come back, I think we'll make him more uncomfortable. Or maybe not. Maybe he's totally cool with whether or not there should be period leave at work. More after this on 720 WG. Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from San Diego, as we just mentioned, and Mark Harmon is joining us as he is also participating in the Educators Workshop. We learned a lot about how the recruits here at the U.S. Marine Corps Recruit Depot are trained. One of the moments that I kind of, because Carm, now that you've heard me sort of spout off a little bit about female Marines, you're not surprised to know that I'll jump on any female issue, I guess. But one of our hosts, Major Porter, was mentioning that the female recruits, and this, you know, look, she knows better than we do. This is her job. But she was mentioning that you have to take a different, you have to coddle the female cadets, the recruits, was kind of what she had said. Do you remember that moment, Carm?
I do.
Yeah, I'm curious because she knows that this is her job. So I don't think that this story would go over well with her or maybe not. But I'm going to ask her because, you know, as it is, women are trying to fight for equal rights, right? Or, you know, the idea behind feminism is equal and fair. But when I see a piece like this, I'm not really sure how it helps. Or maybe I'm wrong. Join the conversation. Let us know what you think as we sort of unpack this idea that women might get paid for period leave every month. So when their cycle rolls in, I guess, the company perhaps could give them a few days off. There's one company in England that they have a plan to let female staff take time off during their cycle. And the thing about this company is that it's predominantly female. There are 31 people that work there. 7 of them are male. And they wanted to tap into the female staff's natural rhythms in order to create a happier and more productive work environment. It's what strikes me about that is that basically you're saying get all these crazy bitches out of the office when their period rolls around. I'm not sure how much it is for them as it is for the 7 dudes that work there. Just,
you know,
hello.
this is a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily know what it's like. Actually, I don't. We'll take out the necessarily. I don't know what it's like to have your period. I don't think Craig does either. If I had to guess, that he's unaware as well.
I am unaware.
But so I've never really heard women say that I deserve the day off because I'm having my period.
Well, they would, and I don't know that they would say it. I mean, we fought so hard and so long to have that be something to take us down. It would be, you know, I think just so strange. Here's another thing is that women experience this differently too. So I've never felt like I needed, well, my job doesn't require that at all. I mean, I don't do any heavy lifting. I don't think that the folks in this office do either, but I certainly am as functioning on those days as I am the rest of the days of the month.
End of the day, it's just a moment in time when topics like this come up that I am personally grateful to be of the male gender.
Right.
I think it's, I mean, there's a lot of great things that women get to do that men don't. And most of the time I tend to think that women are across the board stronger than men. But, you know, to deal with that every month, that just doesn't seem like a great deal. I mean, that's just, you know, when you really boil it down, I mean, how many women would choose to not have to do that? Right, Patty?
Right? I would choose not to. Although, I mean, there are ways to not have your cycle, but they are, you know, they're pharmaceutical and I'm not, and, or, you know, surgical and I'm not interested in that. I'm not happy to have it, but it's something I've done for so long that it's just like, oh, you again.
I think I'm picking up the segment Mark Carmen is trying to have right now. 312-981-7200. Who prefers to have their menstrual cycle? Who 312-981-7200? Call us, ladies.
Well, I actually like having it because it's a big old sign there are no babies in here.
Oh, nice.
That's the one.
There we go.
Babies are not showing up this month.
Mm-hmm. I agree with her. It's everything is operating as desired. I mean, it is. I'm with Esmeralda.
It's a great moment for the man,
oh
too,
my God.
By the way.
This segment is so good.
But it's, I mean, it's true. It's, I find it very frightening when there's a lot of, what is it? Those pills, what are they called? Oh, man.
Birth control?
Right. that they can stop your cycle. It's like, no, I want to know every month.
Right.
I want to know that it's happening.
Right. What if that didn't work? What if I'm the 1% or whatever the percentage is for whom the
exactly.
Pill? Yep. Who needs to have that surprise? And I tried the pill. And if you think I can swing wildly on my opinions and moods, woo. Yeah, altering me pharmaceutically was not fun on the pill because it's hormones. I mean, it's adjusting your hormones, and some people don't react well. And I started stalking an ex-boyfriend. Let's call him Tom because that was his name, Daniels. Yep, that happened. Yep, because I name names. Yeah, it's all. It's just one of those things that. Yeah, I flipped out, and I remember feeling like this. I'm not okay. What is this? And I stopped taking the pill, and I was like, oh yeah, he was kind of a jerk. I don't need to date him anymore.
What do we mean by stalking? Like, what are you talking about? Did you a couple times try to go to places where you knew he might be, or were you full on wearing camo and hiding in the like bushes outside his house?
Yeah, no. It was the first. It was the, you know, I would know when he was getting out of class at a certain time and just happened to be just getting off my bike and standing there waiting for him to exit the building. Like, I like pretending to lock up my bike knowing.
That's very casual stalking. I don't think that's so bad. That's okay.
Yeah, but I'd never behave that way.
Right.
And we'd broken up. I had broken up with him and then like had, you know, and then when I started taking the pill, I was like, maybe that was a mistake. I really liked him. that was the way that my voice sounded in my head.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really.
I know that voice.
Sounded. Yep. Is that the one you have
that
in your head, too?
That reminds me of... No, I mean, I was saying that's my own voice, not that I've ever heard that voice out of you, Patty, until that moment.
There you go.
I would like to throw out back in, that did remind me of a girl at the great University of Iowa, who, by the way, lost tonight to Indiana, very emotional.
Yeah,
I definitely was stalking her, and she was coming out of the coffee shop that she worked at, and I was just hanging out on the bike, and it's like, hey there, Marcos, you just riding on by right now? Yeah, she just looked at me like, uh-huh. Okay, come on, we can go sit down on the bench, and I'll tell you again why I'm not going to date you.
But
I tried.
Can we rope Esmeralda in here real quick? Have you ever stalked anybody? Do we have a show full of stalkers?
No, I mean, just some casual Facebook stalking. But nothing where I've actually like gone somewhere where these people are.
Yeah, that's
okay. When in high school.
There it is.
I don't know. He worked at the Dominic's. I had to go to the Dominic's for things and ask him questions.
Was it for sure the Dominic's closest to you, or was it at least two or three Dominic's away?
No, it was. Okay. And I made sure to go with my parents every time we went to the Dominic's.
That's a good way to go on Fridays.
Patty, we have a show all full of stalkers. We all stalk people.
Okay, Craig, what's your stalking?
We got to take a break. I don't know if I got time to talk about mine.
I don't know, Craig.
That's a shame.
I see plenty of time.
So many commercials to hit.
So many commercials. All right, Craig. Fine. You're off the hook for now. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. 720 WGN. Today, put me in cold. I You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase studios on the West Coast and the Pearl Mortgage studio for our Marine Corps boot camp experience. Joining me is Mark Carman, who, by the way, Coach could put him in. Craig, I'm telling you, this guy, he may be our sports guy, but I was so impressed with your skills on that course in the CFT, the maneuvers under fire, Carm. I just really amazing job today. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Patty.
It was incredible.
I didn't think it was anything over the top. I didn't want to embarrass myself. That was the main goal.
You beyond did not embarrass yourself. You were talking about you were amongst the last. Everybody was watching, so I actually did go last, which was actually why I did finish. I don't know that I would have given up, but it certainly would have been on my mind if every single person that we were there with wasn't watching. And I'm sorry I didn't wasn't able to throw Shanae Paulus over my shoulder. I only dragged her a little bit, the required distance. But I was like, you know what? I would love to impress everybody, but I also need to go home and make sure I can still take care of my boys and not throw out my back while I'm here. But go ahead, Carm.
No, I was going to say the one moment that we didn't mention today, Patty, we can get back into the sports and everything else in a second, but we were supposed to call home today. Speaking of home.
Oh, my God. I have to get a speech for you. I want you to read this on the air tomorrow. Oh, my God. So funny. I don't know. Should we talk about it tonight? I guess since it was today, what did you want to say about it? Well, let me pull up.
I just wanted to tell everybody that there is a script that you have to read when you're a Marine and you are a recruit and you just get to your 13-week become a Marine moment that you, before you go in the door, you have to make one phone call. And they tell you exactly what to say, and you just hang up and say, I love you, goodbye. So we all did that today, and Patty did that herself, and she was being screamed at.
It was not a seamless execution. We will have video of our first phone call to recruit parents or to whoever is in your life that needs to know where you are. But you were, you know, when I was being yelled at with the cans, the ammunition cans, you were actually being yelled at during the call. He did not. I don't know why he didn't yell at me, but he picks and chooses. He picks and chooses his targets. That's a senior drill instructor, Staff Sergeant Lemke. You were being hollered at quite a bit. Do you want me to read the card? I'll read the script, I guess, since we're talking about it. Here, it's, I have arrived safely. Oh, wait, hold on a second. I have the wrong one. I have Paris Island. I apologize. I just want to say that I called, who did you call, by the way, Carm? Did you?
I called my cell phone, Patty. I called my cell phone, and as I was waiting, yes, because I couldn't do that to my father. So I called my cell phone. Meanwhile, I'm waiting for my cell phone to actually ring, and they're screaming at me. And I'm like, it doesn't need to ring. I could just say it. So I read the thing because I did. It was an amazing amount of fear with the sergeant screaming at me. Which, by the way, he was screaming at you too. Apparently, you just didn't hear it.
Really?
All over you.
Oh, okay. And my phone wasn't working. It was very distracting. I was like, do I just pretend? Do I just read? I was tempted, but I really, really wanted my phone call to go through. And because I called my husband, and I was like, oh, please, 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 please let him pick up. And I'm having trouble finding the script. Hold on. I want to read it to you, but come on. It's not that long. I yelled mine. How did you read your script to yourself? I'm just curious. Because I yelled it out. I don't know if that's how I would actually call my family. Maybe if I, you know, especially if I was a young recruit calling my parents. All right, let me do it this way. I'll do the Paris Island one anyway, since I have it, okay? I have arrived safely at Paris Island. Please do not send any food or bulky items. I will contact you in 7 to 10 days via postcard with my new mailing address. Thank you for your support. I love you. Right? So that it's kind of that. It's a little bit different at San Diego because they don't mention food or bulky items. I don't know why that's a thing at Paris Island. So, Craig, I call my husband and he answers the phone and I basically yell that at him, right, with no hello or anything. I've arrived safely, it's, you know, and all that stuff. And then I just hang up. And a few minutes later, Steve texts. He goes, oh, well, Look forward to your postcard.
Oh, that's so nice. This is a loving, sweet way to do that.
It was well. I was almost like, I'm not that surprised. I could see you getting a kick out of the Marine Corps boot camp. I'm only about more than 15 years removed from not 15 years. I think the age of I think they stop recruiting at 28. So I
got
Carmen
it. So you're still
both...
in that. You're still in the bubble.
Oh yeah, sure. Let's say that. But yeah. That happened. But Carm, you were extraordinary out there, and I look forward to seeing the video. I'm so glad there isn't actually much video of my doing it, because I was hauling Shanae, and she is our videographer for this experience. But you carried a dude quite a distance. That sounds wrong. I don't mean to say it that way, Carm.
I picked the smallest Craig Collins looking like dude out there.
Good.
So will you go down there? He was about 10. He was about 10 pounds lighter than I was, but still was, I mean,
yeah,
you know, 160 pounds is 160 pounds.
Well, Shanae and Jackie are the leanest women here, which makes them the leanest people here. So I was just like, one of y'all need to, I don't know why I'm saying y'all. But that happened. But Carm.
Jackie is not lean. She is a strong, strong Jackie.
She's lean, though. I mean, she's not, I mean, okay, so Shanae is slender. I would say that she's lean and slender. How's that? Is that better?
Right. I mean, lean. You're looking ideally. You would like a little dainty girl of 100 pounds. Neither Jackie nor Shanae were that. You had a significant challenge there.
Well, she's tall. She's really tall. Okay, so we've gone off topic completely because we were talking about sports, and you mentioned briefly in the last segment that your team lost tonight. I'm so sorry.
The University of Iowa did not come through tonight, but we should give congratulations. To the Indiana Hoosiers, Patty, mm-hmm. who will be your Big Ten basketball champion in the regular season, as the Hoosiers are getting it done tonight, 81-78 in Iowa City. So for all the IU faithful out there, congratulations. No congratulations to the Chicago Bulls, who are now out of the playoffs if they started tomorrow, Patty. Losers tonight to Miami. 129-111. Derrick Rose did play. He did return, but the Bulls literally can't stop anyone. Miami shot 67% from the field, which hasn't happened against the Bulls since 1984, which was Michael's rookie year. So that wasn't yesterday. Pretty pathetic on the defensive end right now, the Chicago Bulls.
All right. Wow. I can hear the grief in your voice when it comes to the performance.
It's a little painful that if the playoffs started tomorrow, you're not in the playoffs. I mean, come on, man. That's a significant fall. And Derrick Rose is not ingratiating himself to many Bulls fans these days with his "I'm going to sit when my body is hurt." They don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, what's his contract now? What are we doing with that guy?
He signed next year. He'll collect 20 million more.
Am I being too bloodthirsty?
Or is it a little bit?
Accurate? A little bit.
But most people are. That's exactly how Bulls fans feel. So these things happen.
Yes,
and
they do.
He's had many a knee surgery. There is no compassion for him. He's played 61 games the last 3 years, Pat. He's on pace for 68 this year. So that's a massive improvement.
Define massive.
But, well, I mean, 61 in 3 years, right? And now he's
Years. I'm sorry. Yes, that's a massive improvement. I'm sorry. The math, I apologize for my
lapse
in counting.
So there's that. And then, you know, the Blackhawks have a new law firm in town, Weiss, Fleischman, and Ladd. Those were your trade deadline.
That's who we got?
Yes, we got Weiss, Fleischman, and Ladd. They have an office on Madison, charge nice. $7.50 an hour. They're great divorce attorneys and everything else.
And not bad on the ice, I'm hoping?
Veterans adding significant depth once again, and as we heard earlier, the Blackhawks on the ice tomorrow night, 6:30 pregame, taking on the Detroit Red Wings. We don't get to see as much these days because They're in the Eastern Conference, so always fun to play the Red Wings and get to do that tomorrow. Detroit,
yeah,
having a pretty solid season too. It'll be a good game tomorrow night.
That's been the interesting thing too, is when some of the Marines talk to us about being from Chicago, Blackhawks. I was telling someone that really, if you want to touch our hearts, you say Blackhawks. But if you want to see us fight with each other, go ahead and ask us about Cubs and Sox. We'll do that. Because, you guys were talking about this is the season, you and the sergeant at dinner tonight, that this is, do you really believe this is the year? Because you said that. You said at dinner, I don't know if you meant that for air, but you said at dinner, this is the year.
I do mean that.
Okay.
I mean,
for the
you've
Cubs.
Got lost. The Cubs are the prohibitive favorites over Craig Collins' New York Yankees and everybody else out there at 4-1.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think the Yankees are trailing directly behind them either. I think they're pretty far behind you.
There's grief in Craig's voice.
No, it's okay.
There's
it's fine.
Tonight.
We've won a lot of times in the last 100 years, 100 and plus.
Yeah.
Well, keep rolling that one out.
Thanks, Patty.
You're welcome.
Keep rolling it out.
I don't know how many more seasons you get with that, but it's going to start to be a heavy bag to start throwing over the wall. Just saying. Yes. Go ahead.
It's only been 108 years. So they're due. They're due. Their pitching is going to be something to pay very close attention to early, even in spring training. So we'll see. The lineup, they're going to score runs. There's no doubt about that. Will they pitch well enough? I watched, Patty, you should have seen Jake Arrieta, who won the Cy Young Award last year. He was on SportsCenter on Sunday. They were.
I heard you guys talking about this. Go ahead. Yeah, tell us, what was he up to?
I mean, he does all sorts of stuff to keep his body healthy that many of us would never consider doing. And he does Pilates, but he doesn't, it's not like he's doing Pilates where he's just laying on a mat and working on his core. He's doing Pilates where he's sliding back and forth on the big Pilates machine, and he's doing the splits, right leg forward splits, left leg forward splits, then flipping himself upside down. And it's just, it's super impressive what a physical specimen this guy is. So will that translate to another great year on the mound? Who knows? I would think so if he stays healthy, because this guy's got a ton of want and he's got a ton of talent and he really works at his craft. And he's a great guy too. He's super likable.
Oh, I look forward to the season then. I really need him to do a little downward facing dog on the mound. That sounds weird.
He might do that for you.
I think he might do it for everybody. We are going to come back in a moment. I found the script, so I want to. It's actually very different from the one I just saw from Paris Island. So when we come back, what we meant to get to, including the accurate script that Carm and I were supposed to call our loved ones for our first phone call home from Marine Corps boot camp. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez and Mark Carman. After this, a little bit more on Pretty Late. We only have a couple minutes left, Craig. So we got to wrap up our conversation about because this is the only day we'll really be going through some of the paces in a very muted way that the Marines at boot camp in San Diego go through. Carm, I was Craig off when we were on the break was saying that I should go immediately to sleep, and I one of the things that's made me laugh all day, Carm, was that video of the recruits arriving at camp and at boot camp. And that moment when they're all told to get into their beds and get under the blankets. Yes.
That's going to be tonight for us.
Yes. I don't know if I probably will close my eyes and still hear Staff Sergeant Lemke yelling at us. And hopefully tomorrow, is he yelling at us all week or is that really just today? Because I'm kind of hoping it was just today.
Well, tomorrow we're going to Miramar. We're doing the Top Gun deal. We're going to see some of the cool different planes, two in particular. So I don't think we're going to get yelled at as much tomorrow, but it's going to be probably a pretty awesome day.
Yeah, we are. We're going to be seeing a lot of the aircraft, and we. So at the end, Craig, they show us this great video, and Esmeralda, they show us this. You know, they have the the recruits on the bus. They get out. They're being yelled at, and that they show all these. They have to do a strength test, which includes like 100 crunches and 20 pull-ups. I can't remember how. I don't remember how far the run is, but everything has to be done in like less than 18 minutes. And so they go through all of that, like in the first 24 hours, and even beyond that, they they're getting all their equipment, everything that fits in this bag, and the whole time they're being yelled at. And then they show them in their squad bay and their where their beds are, and they are yelled at to Carm, I don't know exactly what he was saying, but it sounded like pretty much get into your bed, get under the blankets, or however you want to go to sleep. And they count down from 60. You have 60 seconds to get in your bed, get ready, and they turn the lights off, Craig, and he goes, go to sleep, and then they turn the lights off. Like you can order someone to
how relaxing
automatically. Yeah. Anyway, but I talked to several recruits. Carm, did you ask that question about the go to sleep part? Because all the recruits I talked to said they absolutely fell asleep immediately.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yeah,
you're so relieved, I'm sure, that the day's over and you don't have to do one more thing with someone in your face that you're I'm sure that even as intense as that scene was, that you probably do fall right to bed.
Yeah.
Then you're back up in what, 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever it is.
No, well, I don't know about that during those 12. I believe one of the sergeants was telling me that, people talk about how hard these kids work, and one of the things they absolutely make sure is that they have access to 8 hours of sleep. The drill instructors do not, like, they were telling me that because once the boys all go to bed, that's when they start working on the plan. The drill instructors have to develop what's going to be the schedule for the next day, so they're up for several more hours and having meetings and going over assessments as to how the recruits are all doing. So that was kind of an interesting moment for me. I thought it was
no doubt that was. Yeah. One of many, but yes, yep. That
here's the thing.
They go all day and it's so super intense. Then you go to bed at night and there's a dude right next to you and right below you and right next to you on your left and on your right.
Yep.
That's just intense. A lot, but I guess you get used to it.
Here, does it sound familiar? Hello, this is Recruit Vasquez. I have arrived safely at MCRD San Diego. The next time I contact you will be by postal mail, so expect a letter in 2 to 3 weeks. I love you. Goodbye. More after this on 720 WGN.